The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live taking questions, calls, and talking about great information for you and your loved ones on a beautiful Sunday. We're doing this from two different states, so the good thing is we can say that in both states, hopefully. But hopefully if you have any questions and you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to call us anytime during the show. Our number is 888-630-9625. Again, that number is 888-630-9625. And as you can tell, this is Dr. Stephanie Pina, a licensed acupuncturist and naturopath from the Rozell Center for Healing, filling in for Dr. Rozell. Here, not only is there a Washington game, but there's also the New York Marathon. So maybe he's doing both today. Who knows? But we'll see. I can't do this alone when I fill in. And your presenter for this weekend is going to be also with me in just a moment. He's going to be presenting on something that's near and dear to a lot of people, and it also affects us in a lot of different ways, and that is going to be Dr. Scott Lamp. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hello, Stephanie, and it looks like an interesting day. It's warm outside but cloudy, but, I'll take it. It's good for a little bit of yard work, maybe.
Yeah, for November, we'll definitely take it. In New Hampshire here, it's doing pretty good as well, too, so it's nice and warm and a little cloudy as well, so it sounds like it's about the same, so that's good. Yep. So you're going to be talking this Wednesday, November the 9th at 6 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax, Virginia, on ergonomics and working from the home and how that translates and is really important to anyone, no matter what they do and where they are. You spoke on this before, and one of the key things as we get into this, too, is how things have changed, say, in the last year or two compared to if you did this lecture 3 or 4 years ago that I'm interested in. But why is ergonomics so important, Dr. Lamp, and why do we tend to kind of come back to it and really talk to our patients and to the public a lot about it?
Well, I think the ergonomics is like a lot of times when we go and treat patients and we have them and they have them in the office, you sit them down, we get them to feel better. And I call it playing in the highway. It's like you let them go and they go out and you don't know what they're going to be doing. And a lot of times they do things to themselves that create problems. Add the aspect of what you were talking about before with COVID and moving everybody from a work base to a home base. A lot of times how they set up themselves for working at home is a lot different than work. And in fact, actually at work, you have HR people and they're helping you with things. When you get home, you don't necessarily have that element. And then also you change your machinery, you change your equipment. So you go from doing something on a laptop or from a PC to a lot of times back into a laptop. And laptop, it has a lot of ergonomic challenges. And again, the ergonomic challenges where you can't place things in certain places because of the limitation of the piece of the equipment. So we see a lot of those. And I think also, ergonomics plays a part too with what we're doing even on the recreational basis too. We all have cell phones, or majority of us have cell phones. There's supposedly smartphones, like 1.8 billion that are in the world. And how we work with that and put our head and body positions causes quite a few different problems that we have to deal with.
And I would, like you're saying, like it's not even just that work environment anymore. It's really looking at everything that we do. How can we help ourselves in that factor? In fact, it was kind of funny online. They were saying some of the definitions for ergonomics is the human factor and how there are multiple parts of the human factor and how we affect the environment and vice versa. So depending on where our environment is, we have to have a change on it and back and forth, no matter what we're talking about.
Right.
But when we talk about ergonomics, I mean, obviously we're also looking at business productivity and the cost and weight of like investing in some of these things for whether you're the business owner or the employee. But then also, if you don't invest in that, the long run cost of low back pain and all the other issues that come along with bad ergonomics.
Yeah, I think the thing is that that's usually a hidden cost. A lot of times when you're coming in and trying to take care of people looking at their bottom line, they don't realize how much loss runs are for people being out sick or having problems with particular things. Usually, and we'll talk about this at the talk, the first thing you look at is what's the cost of the equipment. Sometimes on the assembly line, it might be a $100,000 piece that you have to make things work for somebody on the assembly line to work. And that might not be worth the while for that company to do so. But if it's enough to put a document holder in front of you for 10 to 20 bucks, that might be a different story. That might be well worth the time and effort than not having somebody going out of because of them having headaches or neck pains or carpal tunnel issues. So it's a matter of what's the appropriate equipment. The second aspect is how you adapt to that. And you're talking about ergonomics. Ergonomics really is kind of the checking the efficiency of you at work, how to do different things like that. There's an interesting term called bionomics, is your body's adaptation to that environment that you're to, that kind of like, how do I adapt to things? And that's like the second part I was trying to get to here is, how do I adapt to the equipment in front of me? I can make anything work well. It's just going to start looking ugly in the office when you have to put boxes underneath things and you have to hold a document to a magnet to something else or clip this to that or clip to that. But you can make it work. It's just a matter of adapting to the right things. I don't know how many times I've seen somebody have a very good quality chair that's over $1,000 that they have to use, a flex chair or a freedom chair or the X chair, and they don't even know how to use the buttons. They just kind of lay in the chair and just like, okay, hopefully this sets the right way. And then the last thing you can always do is work on the element of what can I do to kind of get my body ready for the work at hand or after the work at hand. And that's called like stretching and doing some exercises and get circulation in the body.
And that movement aspect that we see that's so important no matter what the health condition is as well too, right?
Absolutely. I think one of the things you can get the best ergonomic position in the world, you're still stagnant. You got to move.
Yeah, it's interesting online when you talked about the chairs and stuff, like if you do a Google search of imagings of ergonomics, that's the main thing that pops up is, you know, how to sit properly at the chair and how to put the monitor at the right level and everything. But I'm going, okay, so when you move away from that or your job isn't involved with sitting in front of a computer and a desk or it's construction work or assembly line or doing a lot more things or even a mom at work, you know, a mom that stays at home and takes care of her children, like, you know, there's going to be different things that have to be adjusted for them. Do you see a lot of people reaching out for help for that particular part of their healthcare, or do they kind of tend to blow it off until something happens?
Well, I think you have to realize it. I think the problem being, and you could be in a bad position for a period of time and don't even feel any pain. So, well, what's the big deal, doc? It takes, depending on what you're doing and how severe you're irritating the system, that you start showing things up. And that's the unfortunate thing, I think, with the human body is when you start feeling pain, you should be listening to that. But what we want to do is catch that before that happens. And so one of the things is just making sure, like even in the construction industry and things like that, there's certain things you should look at. There's certain things we talk about. There's a basic three that I'll mention at the talk that will go about, you know, you should be looking at all three of these things no matter what you're doing. Those are basic things I look at if I do an ergonomic assessment at a job site.
And that brings up a perfect thing. How much do you see people having, people like yourself or companies having people like yourself bring in people to really assess that? Or are they kind of basing it off of what HR kind of assumes is right or what the, you know, employee wants to put in, I want a new chair. Do you see more of a trend now that people are actually starting to kind of say, hey, I need to assess the current situation a little bit better versus patient come in saying, I need work with me?
Yeah, I've done some work in the past with a couple of companies as an independent contractor. The thing is right now is COVID did a big thing. They don't want another person in the room. So that's really kind of put a lot of change in the ergonomic elements. And now you're starting to see the fall of that. I used to go into banks and things like that. But of course, then what happens is now they just don't want anybody there because of the COVID situation. And now it's starting to lax a bit. But now you're starting to see more and more problems are. So there's the environment and what society's dealing with it at the particular time. The other thing is they have to be aware of it. And I think sometimes when you're looking at bottom lines, you're looking at, well, production costs and things like that, they keep on forgetting that, wait a minute, I have to pay for a temp to come in. I have to pay for their injuries. If they have a surgery, that's $30,000. And then you have to multiply that by five for all the indirect costs that have to happen to that company. And sometimes you have to have people made aware of that, and they start seeing like, oh, my God, we're losing a lot of money in workman's comp costs. So, I mean, you got some of those things that happen with that, with the business side.
So this ergonomics working from home is going to be the lecture this Wednesday night, November the 9th at 6 p.m. Those of you who have come before know that we had moved it to 6 p.m. instead of 7. And that's 6 p.m. with the new time change as of this morning. Yep. And so that's going to be 6 p.m. And if you need to register and want to register and make sure you get a seat, because I have a funny feeling it's going to be another full class. So we're getting towards the end of our lecture series for this. We are going to have you call 703-698-7117 as the office number, 703-698-7117, to register and save your seat. Or you can go online at roselcare.com, roselcare.com. And if you go about halfway down that page, you'll see a little registration button, and you can click on that. They'll get some basic information. You can also serve your seat there. And someone will be confirming with you that we have everything you need and there's enough seats available as well. Dr. Lamp, why did you think that something like chronic low back pain or wrist pains like carpal tunnel, and you talked a little bit when we were off here about Technic, why did those areas in particular become more the areas of abuse that get beat up so bad when we're working on the job and we have to really pay attention to what we're doing with them?
I think the biggest thing is actually the spine itself. You take a look at the spine of the body, and once you take it out, there's a particular position that the body gets the best benefit from, and that's when your neck has a bit of a curve into it. It's like a forward bending neck. The thoracic spine has a back that kind of the curve goes towards your back, your body, and the lumbar spine goes forward. And if you look at that shape, it looks like a very, very mild S shape, and that works like a spring. And that bounces up and down, and that actually holds the body's design and the vertebra design. They have little divots, small little sulcus, so to speak, on the top and the bottom of the vertebra that fit these things called discs that work like shock absorbers and spacers. And they're in the maximum ability to absorb a punishment when they're in those curves. All these things we're talking about is when you adapt and take your body out of that. Now, I'm going to use a term that's, I don't know how many times people have heard it. It's called creep, and that's not because of Halloween, but creep in the guards of things slowly change. I can take a tree and tie it down and force it to go or bend and grow a certain way. It'll eventually untie it, then it'll go bend back up towards the sky. And what happens is the tissues in that I say creep slowly turn and change to adapt to that pressure change. And that's one of the problems that we have. We're in this good position of the spine, taking up stresses, and then all of a sudden we round out our back. Another typical thing is when we drive a car, a lot of times when you look at the pan or the seat that we're sitting on, it actually is elevated closer to the legs and drops down towards the buttocks, which has a tendency to round your back out. We have a tendency to overreach with the mouse. So it drives our heads forward, and all of a sudden the curve of the neck is now gone. Or we're rolling our shoulders, and now we're actually making the curve in the thoracic spine, which is the ones where your ribs and your upper chest, now even gets accentuated, and they bend even too much. So now I've got this big, huge C shape that the body will start adapting to. But the problem is the biomechanics causes an increased wear and tear there, and it starts causing microtrauma.
Right. So ergonomics and the effect that we have on the environment and the effect that it definitely has on us is going to be the topic for this Wednesday night. And we're talking to Dr. Scott Lamp on Rozelle Center for Healing's show, Dr. Tom Alive. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live and in two different states, but it works out well. I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, and I'm here with Dr. Scott Lamp. He's going to be your presenter this Wednesday night on November the 9th at 6 p.m., talking about what we've been talking about for the last half an hour is ergonomics, and especially, you know, working from home, what can you do about it and the effect that it has on the body. So something that everybody in some way, shape, or form has to deal with. Dr. Lamp, we were talking a little bit over the break, and since you were starting to get into how posture can be affected by work environment and the stressors that we put on the body, we also need to talk about some of the things that posture is related to that we are kind of thinking outside the box that most people wouldn't think, oh, that can't be related to my posture. That can't be related to the way I sleep or sit in my car. Why don't you go a little bit more in depth on that, which I know you're going to do on the lecture. But, you know, what things are we not thinking about that we have to kind of look for when patients come in and we're really looking at how they deal with their work environment and their healthcare?
Oh, yeah. And I think one of the things, being in a static position for long periods of time and not getting up and moving, one of the things that happens is the fluid retention in the body creates a problem. When we sit down, for example, we're about 30% more pressure on the body than you are when you're standing. So that means the fluids are not moving as well. We can get stagnation. So what does that mean in the pelvic region? You can get things like hemorrhoids. Deep vein thrombosis is one, depending on your knee position. And it's a lot of things we're going to talk about. What's the proper position for your legs while you're sitting? Are they curled up underneath you? Are you sitting down on the top of your legs? That can actually increase the aspect of DVTs or deep vein thrombosis. Varicosities would fall in the same element. So those are type of things that the fluid retention goes there. The other thing is when we bend forward and we actually put some pressure down, we shorten the distance in the front part of our body. So we're actually pushing the diaphragm down on the stomach. We also put pressure down on the lungs, a little bit on the heart. So if somebody is having a problem with hypertension and not standing upright, if you're putting more pressure for the heart to pump against, that's not necessarily a good thing. So tension, hypertension aspects can be caused with some of these things too, along with breathing difficulty and asthma. You've got asthmatic conditions and those kind of things, and you're bending forward a lot with that kind of element, and you're not getting your body up and getting your head up and getting your chest up to open up and get the maximum amount of air that you need. You're going to be losing some of the losing the ability to actually breathe as well. So asthmatics and hypertension play a part. With that said, you know, people talk about acid reflux problems. One of the problems with acid reflux is because the stomach gets pushed up in the diaphragm. And when you're sitting down and say you cough and sneeze, you will actually put a lot of pressure in that stomach hitting up the bottom surface of the diaphragm. And it actually can cause some of these things like GERD or hiatal hernias to make them worse. And then, you know, you got things even like constipation. Again, talking about not moving and putting pressure on the spinal cord or spinal segments. And each one of those things are location. The lower back, it's going to have to do a lot with your lower bowel. And can it possibly be that irritating or sitting in a bad position affecting those nerves can affect the outcomes of how well your body can eliminate waste? So constipation could be some of those type of things. So those are a number of things that, and I can go on a little bit more. The other ones, obviously, if they're aches and pains, you think about the arms and legs and the numbness and the hands and carpal tunnel and those things. Another one that also, which is quite common, is jaw problems. When you're leaning forward and your head's jutting forward, the jaw kind of sometimes falls forward. And then all of a sudden you've got jaw problems. And that jaw problem can lead to things like even like sleep apnea.
So we definitely see those things happening. And then I would say also, like, you know, you got to think about the people who aren't just sitting at the desk, but maybe the people who are also standing the whole time. So right, they don't even have to worry about the chairs, but they're running around standing a lot like we do at the office. And so they have a whole different set of conditions and stuff to look at as well, too, correct?
Yeah. And I think the thing is sometimes we think, well, I'm going to be in a standing desk that's going to take care of everything. That's not necessarily true, because I could still have the same problem with my head dropping down, my arms not in the right position, but now I'm standing. And also when you're standing, the element is also, are you working with a cushion pattern underneath your feet, or are you just standing against, you know, the whole physics on your feet and the pressures on your feet is the amount of pressure I push down is equal to the amount of pressure coming back up. So, you know, there's an element there that's going to be, important too. But, you know, some people think, oh, I'll take care of my back problems when I stand. Not necessarily. You got to take care of all the rest of the part of the body. And if you're not moving, again, stagnation of fluid doesn't work well with the body.
And also working with someone like yourself, where there's that transition of going from a sitting to standing, or making sure there's enough proper time to allow that transition to happen is really important as well, too, correct?
Yeah, and I think the whole thing is getting some type of timing mechanism for yourself to remind you to do it.
All right. So ergonomics, working at home especially, is going to be the Dr. Lamp's lecture for this Wednesday night. Please feel free to register at roselcare.com. And you can also call the office at 603-698-7117. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 888-630-9625. We'll be back in just a moment.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live taking phone calls and talking about ergonomics, how that body gets affected by work positions and everything we do to make ourselves more productive at work, but also keep ourselves safe as well, too. This is going to be the topic of this Wednesday night's lecture, Wednesday, November 9th at 6 p.m. at the Rizal Center for Healing located in Fairfax, Virginia. If you are interested in this or you have any questions today, you can give us a call and get talk to Dr. Lamp live. And you can call us on the radio station at 888-630-9625. Again, that number is 888-630-9625. And while you're there, you can also check out our website, which talks about upcoming lectures, as well as register for this particular one at www.rosellecare.com, RoselleCare.com. About halfway down the page, you'll see the registration button and you can click on that. They'll gather some basic information and then they'll give you a call to confirm that you have just reserved your seat as well, too. You can also call the office to register at 703-698-7117. Dr. Lamp, we're going to bring things back to the home because that's where a lot of people are working from now. In fact, kitchen tables and islands have become office-based desks and have taken over where the family eats to where they work and play and did school and did everything on. And, you know, being at home and also how we prepare for the workday has a lot to do with how ergonomically healthy we are as well, too. So let's bring it back to the house. And why is that important to think about this outside of the actual office space?
Yeah, because you don't usually a lot of times have the tools that you need. Like you don't have a really, some people have an office desk. They'll have maybe a den or something that turns into a small office, or they have a desk or something like that. But a lot of people don't have that. Or they use laptops and they're laying on the sofa with the head flexed forward and the back is rounded out and the sofa that kind of eats your body, that kind of thing, or in a lazy boy and trying to work a laptop that way. And the problem with laptops is the laptop will work better if it separated the keyboard from the screen. So you can put the screen in the right height and then you can put the keyboard at the right position for your hands. So that creates a problem. Some people try to do it off the floor. They're laying against maybe a sofa or against a wall. And what happens eventually is there's, as I say, death, taxes, and gravity. Gravity is always going to win out on us over a period of time unless we have ourselves supported. So we wouldn't put ourselves in compromising positions. You know, in the first half hour, it might be okay, but doing that a couple hours, the next thing you know, I don't know why I have a stiff neck or my muscle body is so tired, fatigued. And again, when we're doing these positions and we make these muscles work harder than they're supposed to, they start to clamp down and they don't let go. And that takes energy. It takes energy to maintain that contraction. And we only have a finite amount of energy that we have. We have like 30% to run the regular systems of our body, the automatic systems of this body. But then we fall into this aspect of we have all these other muscles tight all the time. And that's an interesting thing. We use found in acupuncture when we relieve some of that muscle tension, or in chiropractic, we relieve some of those muscle tensions that all of a sudden say, I feel like I have a little bit more energy. Why? Because the body's not have to be under these supreme constant conditions of being tight all the time. So those are important to take a look at and how to understand it. There's a way to sit on the sofa. There's a way to sit at the aisle, at the kitchen aisle island. There's a way to sit at the dining room table. And those are things we're going to go over, and we're actually going to make demonstrations of that in the class that we're going to be doing, so understanding that. So, and on top of that, you got things like, you know, what's your position when you sleep is another element. So
basically you have everybody right now changing the position that they're listening to the radio and right. They're straightening up and they're putting their feet on the ground. They're making sure if they're looking at a laptop, it's at eye level and they're working on this already.
And I think the thing is that also when you deal with attention and learning ability, actually you do better. You're more concentrated if you're in a proper position than you're slumped. That plays a big part in that. There's been studies that have been showing that the ability to concentrate and to be more productive is in a better sitting position or standing position, as you know, if we do a standing thing, to make sure that's upright and that, and you can be more productive, you have more energy, you don't have to worry about tired, and you have to worry about aches and pains. You know, that's a good thing to understand. One thing I'll put out there, and I think, when we talk about, these problems and these kind of things, I tell people to be like a detective. when do you have the problems? Like, you know, done well, doc, on Friday, I feel worse than I do on Monday. Okay. And what happens on the weekend? Well, the weekend I'm okay, or unless I'm doing something at home that's awful. And that could be that I'm doing something bad at work, or I'm waking up, I have pain, but the rest of the day I'm always good. So, you know, the detective would be, okay, what are you doing in your sleeping position? Do you have the right pillow? Do you have the right mattress? Are you in the right position? And then the other factors, environmental factors, might be, you might be uncomfortable because you don't have the air temperature the correct way. There's other factors that play a part that make you uncomfortable because of the heat of your body. So a lot of different things like that to understand that give away clues to why you're having problems.
Now, there was an interesting thing that I saw online that talked about these three dimensions of ergonomics, and basically it talked about physical ergonomics, cognitive, and organizational. And bringing it all together was basically how to optimize effectiveness, safety, and comfort for, you know, the worker and the work environment.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about the physical stuff because I feel like what we do in the office has got a lot of physical nature and stuff. But what about the cognitive part? I mean, here we're trying to be productive. We could be sitting perfectly fine. We're trying to get a good night's sleep. We're trying to balance work stress and what we need to do during the workday. But essentially, there are things that are playing into the cognitive part as well, too, correct?
Sure. If you're dropping your head down, I think what happens is you have an effect on the brainstem. And one of the things that happens there is that you can actually, the dominant, what I call flexor position, the body's going to dropping head forward. You can affect blood flow and oxygen to these areas restricted, and that can cause some problems. In fact, they talk about something called digital dementia. And I'll read this here. It's a term coined by a neuroscientist, Manfred Spitzer, to describe an overuse of digital technology resulting in the breakdown of cognitive abilities. Spitzer proposes that short-term memory pathways will soon start to deteriorate after use of this technology. And then you got kids walking around in these patterns. You know, they say somebody, the average person might be on a cell phone, might be up to as much as 5 hours a day. That's considerable. The other thing that we don't know, and we take a look at some of these neuro diseases, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, we start seeing that the head starts to drop down and the body starts to round out. Now, we're not in that position. Let's say a young person's not in the position of having Parkinson's, but if we kind of mimic that behavior, does that cause a neurological decline faster for somebody in that position? And there's some people starting to say that may be. Why should we mimic that? You know, and it's one of the things we find, like even in Parkinson's, you can notice when somebody walks and their stride and the arms are not, one arm is not moving, the other one is, and they don't have any trauma to the shoulder. That's a possible neurological decline. But notice what happens when somebody's using a cell phone. They might have both hands in front of them. They're not swinging their arms and the head's dropped. Well, we know oxygen's not going as well there as possibility. Are we mimicking behaviors and accelerating the possibility of having these other neurological declines?
Or even the healing function that helps to prevent that, right?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is that, you know, the thing about making sure that you're, when you're in a work setting and things of that nature, I think we talked about the physical, which is obvious, and the cognitive aspect. Organizational skills is another thing we're going to talk about, is where do you put things? Do you keep things way out of your reach, or do you keep them in an organized fashion so there's a lot easier way to get to things so you don't create some problems? So the organizational part is plays to that. And I think also, too, what are you doing as you're kind of like a industrial athlete? What are you doing nutritionally wise? There's some nutritional aspects you can take a look at. What are you doing, things that kind of help you with those? Are you eating a lot of junk food while you're at work, or are you doing other things to kind of keep you alert? There's certain things and certain aspects and habits you can make work a little bit better.
You know, I find it interesting that a lot of the times when we do lectures, we talk a lot about hydration and keeping water up and how that could play into this. When we think about, especially early COVID, when we were afraid to touch anything, do anything, masks weren't, you know, don't touch your face with the mask. You know, you can see this even in our work environment and especially other medical environments, is that, you know, hydration levels went down because you weren't going to move your mask around. You weren't bringing as much in. So the fact that we're talking about tight muscles and tension and stuff, and like you said, the nutrients in the water is not coming in the way it should because you're always on the go, you know, and plus you had the fear aspect as well, too. So now as people start to go back into the work environment, the mental, emotional side that everything's kind of been doing to us over the last couple of years, especially, is always interesting. I like to talk to my patients when they have things like higher blood pressure readings or poor sleep. They track down what days it's going to be as well and kind of go, you realize it's the night before they go back to work.
Right.
That they have all these issues kind of going on. You're going, okay, is it, what are we doing? That's a little bit different on the days off versus not, Sue. So, okay. And I guess some of this would also apply if your job technically is a professional student as well too, correct?
Absolutely.
Because we have the same thing happening to kids, but then if you're the college student as well who had to do everything at work, you're kind of dealing with the same thing because all your classes were online and you were doing Zoom classes, just like having multiple Zoom meetings throughout the day as well too. That particular aspect of EMFs and everything that has, it's a whole nother, definitely a whole nother topic, but it definitely plays into what we're talking about today.
And I think kids have said, oh, he's a kid, he's younger. And a lot of times you don't get the additional peripheral type of equipment that you might need to help you with some of these things that an older person might get. And like, I'll wait for it. Even the chairs. How about the chairs? Remember when we were in high school and how rigid they were, and they were plastic, and they were not really good ergonomic positions. And as becoming doctors too, how many times you've been sitting in, or how many hours you put into the library, and you're looking down at a book where you can actually have maybe a book stand that you could be provided to be able to use to read things a little bit better, and not put yourself in that kind of irritation. It's an interesting thing. You know, it's like when we talked about before with creep, it takes about 20 minutes for the ligaments in your body to accommodate the position that you're going to be in. And then it takes about 2 weeks. If you don't do anything to kind of reset that can start forming permanent scar tissue. So that tells you about what some of the things that we're doing here. And again, it's not enough necessarily to tell pain. I've got people at 20 years been on the job, have been fine, and all of a sudden they have chronic neck pain. They can't understand why. You know, you want to do things before the body puts it up. You know, where is it in the body's thought process that this pain has to be given to the computer to tell wake the person up and say, hey, but you might be just very, very close to that pain line. And all of a sudden when you start hitting it on a more common, you know, it comes on, you know, more continuously, and there's less space times in between, you've really got to pay attention to that.
So how much do you see, you know, it's interesting when we look at, you know, someone's Googling information about this and about chairs and doing stuff, how much is it stuff that they can do on their own at home or become cognizant of to make those individual changes versus I need a device, I need a new system to do this, I need to get someone else involved because I can't control that. Is it equal? Is it more one than the other? What do you think?
I think a lot of it, I think some people need an ergonomist. It would be somebody like myself, and I've done like previous training on it, is actually learn how this stuff. You go out, you run down the aisles like, oh, okay, I'll use this back support for my back, or I'll go over here and use this wrist rest to use and use it. And I find that a lot of times you're using them wrong. And they're making some things worse for their body. The wrist rest, for example, is not designed. It's designed to rest your wrist while your fingers are not moving. If they're moving, then you're putting pressure on the tendons running up and forth. You're actually making it worse. So again, the biggest problem I find is people get these chairs or spend a fortune for these chairs and they don't even know how to use them. They have to understand. I think one of the best chairs I like is when they have the manual attached to the chair. You can't take it off or hide it somewhere and never find it after a month or so, and you don't know what to do with it. So he said, what the heck? I'll just leave the chair as it is. No. You got to be able to reset it. And how can I change myself from chair to chair? And even cars right now, I think there's a lot of differences between cars that you sit in, where you put the backrest, and even the lumbar support sits too low in most cars. It hits the person in the wrong place.
Exactly. I mean, personally, I'm always playing around with the buttons on my car to figure out how to turn the heaters on in the middle of the summer and the winter time. So, you know, I'm working on that posture support too at the same time. So I can definitely talk about what Dr. Lamp is talking about, where he's worked with our front desk workers at the Result Center for Healing on numerous occasions. It's like we get a front desk worker in and he goes in and assesses them right away and making sure that the chair is the right height and there's things to kind of prop up their feet to make sure they're, you know, nice and flat and stuff too. So it's those little changes and then kind of looking around too and going, oh, well, what can we do to make this a small modification? Because if you come to our office and you'll see people sit in different chairs and all of a sudden you don't have the chair that got designed for you. So we'll have Dr. Lamp kind of come over there and he'll kind of correct them, you know, just sitting, you know, where they are and stuff too. So it can definitely, small changes can be done. So that's a great thing. So.
And that's the thing. You said small changes can make a major, major difference.
Yeah. So we're going to go to a quick break in just a moment, but the ergonomics working from home is going to be the lecture this Wednesday night. We encourage you to sign up early, and essentially you can do that two different ways. That's going to be on www.roselcare.com or call the office at 703-698-7117. And while you're on the website as well too, do you realize that not only is there links to listen to previous radio shows in the past, but also some of the other lectures as well too. So feel free to check those out and see what some of the other doctors are talking about as well. We'll be right back.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. You are listening to Dr. Stephanie Pina and Dr. Scott Lamp, who's going to be your presenter this Wednesday night, the 9th of November. It's going fast. We only have a few left this year, so you got to make sure, if you haven't had a chance to come into the Rozell Center for Healing to listen to one of the free lectures, feel free to sign up. And it's at 6 p.m. now instead of the 7 p.m. that we used to do. So 6 p.m., we got water and tea, and there's not a bad view in the house, and we keep safety protocols. And so it definitely works for anyone who wants to kind of come in and learn a little bit more about the topic we're talking about now, and also some upcoming topics as well too. So you can register and also check out those upcoming topics on our website, roselcare.com, and also call the office at 703-698-7117. Dr. Lamp, you were sharing an interesting story about, I think it ties everything together perfectly as far as, you know, why we need to make the changes that we do, but also do them in the proper timing and direction as well too. So, you know, feel free to share that story and let's take it from there.
Yeah, I had a patient that I was working with back and it was in St. Louis, who was doing some work in an automotive facility, and they were making various, you know, car parts. One of the problems was that she was at the office there for almost probably close to 40 years. And when she came off her chair, you could see the impression of her buttocks actually deteriorated to foam to actually fit her perfectly. And her body was hunched over, her head was down. And you know, obviously there were some changes that need to be done. But also you understand that the person's been in that position for 40 years. We talked about creep before. The body's already started to adapt to this position. So sometimes when you do make changes, sometimes you have to take it portions of it, because if you do too fast, too quick, it's going to feel like it's going to be hurting the patient. And in this particular aspect, we have all these, you know, new docs coming in saying, oh, we're going to change your chair and put the things in the right positions. Well, her body's gotten used to that position, and to put it fully up in that direction actually started causing her pain. In fact, actually within the next day or two, she kind of changed everything back to her old equipment. Well, the way to do that would be is do it in slow increments, and then also doing some exercises, and she would do some physical therapy and some chiropractic and some yoga and some acupuncture and things like that to help her deal with her body bringing back into proper position. But to change things abruptly like that, very quickly and too strongly, could create a problem for you. So be cognizant of things, changing things gently on the system, and then making sure you can slowly get into the position you want to get to.
So I know you're going to be covering things that we can do, proper positioning and, you know, all the different aspects of what we talked about today on today's show as well too. But what else are you going to be covering, and who's your focus? Who should come in to this Wednesday night's lecture as well too?
Everybody who's working, and then working from home, and then also students, because of the fact of the digital dementia and the tech neck, they call it. We'll go over those definitions a little bit stronger and about how that has affected your body and what to do with those things to get in the proper position. So pretty much the whole spectrum of the population could probably benefit from it. We'll talk also about sleeping positions, making sure you got the proper sleeping positions. What about pillows? What about mattresses? What should your considerations be when you're looking at these things? Because they could be a big investment for you. And sometimes all you need is a small investment. Also look at the other pieces of equipment. Again, the small peripheral equipment, as I call it, that'll make it work better for you, to make things work, make your laptop more into a regular desktop. What other things can you use that are very simple changes that you can do to make things work a little bit better? What kind of therapies can you do on yourself? that actually would be beneficial? Can I use a roller bar or a TheraBar, or can I use a tennis ball to kind of work things out? So we'll talk about that. We'll give demonstrations. We'll show the things, and we'll see what we can do to help you out.
It's all keeping us from becoming too creepy, correct?
That's right.
We don't want to be creepy. We want to be able to work professionally. So thank you for joining us on Dr. Tom Mozell Live. He should be back in next week. And have a great weekend.
Take care, all.